This morning, I'm continuing the message from last Sunday. Last Sunday, I got riled up and I didn't get but halfway through what I intended to preach on, and I stopped myself, and none of you congratulated me. It is hard for me to stop when I'm in the middle of something. I always want to finish. I think it had been very fitting for some of you to congratulate me for actually stopping where I needed to stop.
Way to go.
Yeah, thank you. I want you to know I didn't feel right about it, but I did it. Oh, yeah, some did say that they would have stayed, but it's, thank you. I would have heard about it, but yeah. So today, looking again at Matthew chapter 15 and 16, I want to talk to you about the importance of listening to real truth telling, godly, Bible teaching people. It is important to know who to listen to and who not to listen to in this world. There are lots of messages going everywhere in this world. With the advent of the internet and all the social media platforms, it has given a platform to anyone who has something to say, from a celebrity, a politician, to a smaller church in Reno, Texas, you know, and the thousands of people watching us right now. Literally, anybody can use their phone and record a message in their garage, and it might be seen by a few people. It could be 100 people, 1,000 people, tens of thousands, millions of people. Sometimes plain ordinary people have a platform to share what they think and what they believe. And in some ways, I think that's wonderful. And in some ways, that's dangerous. Because how do you know whether someone is telling you the truth or not? Isn't it important to know the truth? How in 2026 do you know when someone is telling you something that is true and when someone's telling you something that's not true? I want to know the truth. I want to think that I want to know the truth even if it hurts. Sometimes probably don't want to know the truth if it hurts. I mean, I'm a person, right? But how do you know? How do you know? How do you know if this person is telling you something that's true? How do you know a preacher, a politician, a guy in his garage, a stay-at-home mom in the kitchen or in her SUV? How do you know if that person is telling you something that is right and good and true or not? I want to tell you that is one of the most important skills that a Christian should have. It's called discernment. Being able to determine what is right and good and true and what is false and wicked and evil. Unfortunately, sometimes they can sound alike. We need the Holy Spirit to help us to know what is right and good and true. And the challenge for modern Christians, that's who we are, right? I'm a modern Christian. The challenge for modern Christians is, in this information age, how do we tell right from wrong? Someone who would tell us the truth from someone who would lead us astray. I want to suggest to you that this has always been a problem, but it's a bigger problem now because there are so many voices that you would have never heard before. This problem was also happening in Jesus' day, of course. And Jesus had, I shared with you about the Sadducees and the Pharisees, and how they were the religious leaders, they were the religious scholars, they were the religious establishment of their day, and yet they were corrupt. Jesus had more trouble with the Sadducees and Pharisees than even the Romans. The Pharisees and Sadducees were so corrupt, they failed to recognize their own Messiah, and they crucified their own Messiah. Told you before, you know your religion's gone bad, you know, like potato salad in the back of the refrigerator, whenever your religion calls on you to kill your own Messiah. And yet, that's what they did. Now, back to the context, Jesus is teaching, and some of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to him, and they said, "Show us a sign to prove that you are from God." And Jesus refused to give them another sign. He had just fed 4,000 people, 16,000 people, men, women, and children. He had just fed all those people, and he had healed the sick. He had already raised some people to life. He had relieved people of demons. He had done all these things. And yet, the religious leaders of Jesus' day were always troubling him and always asking him for another sign. I shared with you last week, they would never be satisfied, would they? They didn't want to believe, and it didn't matter how many things Jesus did, they would not believe. And there are people like that, aren't there? No matter how many proofs or no matter what God does in their life, there are some people that just refuse to believe. And last week, I encouraged you, don't be one of those people who are slow to believe or will not believe no matter what God does in your life. If God reveals himself to you in some way or another, believe and follow Jesus. So we got to the end there, and Jesus said in verse 4 of chapter 16, he says, "No sign will be given to it except the sign of Jonah." I'm not giving you a sign except the sign of Jonah. And you may say, what's the sign of Jonah? Well, the sign of Jonah was that God punished Jonah's disobedience. And he spent 3 days and three nights in the belly of a big fish. And Jesus later on, he would die on the cross and he would spend 3 days in a tomb. And then he would rise again. That's the sign that Jesus said that they would have. And that sign is his own resurrection. Jesus refused to perform a sign for those who would not believe anyway. Well, in verse 5 and following, which is where we're picking up today, and that is what Jesus said about the Pharisees and the Sadducees to his disciples after the Pharisees and Sadducees had left. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for this passage. Please help us to discern your truth from error. And Lord, I pray that your word would speak mightily to people's hearts. I thank you that your word pierced Stan's heart, and it made him believe in you to make that formal and to follow you in baptism. Lord, we recognize your word is powerful and effective. We pray that you would be at work in your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Read with me in Matthew 16, beginning in verse 5. When the disciples reached the other side, they had forgotten to bring any... Oh, there it is. There it is again. Are we ever going to get away from bread? Nope. That's okay. Jesus said to them, "Watch and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees." And they began discussing it among themselves, saying, "We brought no bread." But Jesus, aware of this, said, "O you of little faith, why are you discussing among yourselves the fact that you have no bread? Do you not perceive? Do you not remember the 5 loaves for the 5,000 and how many baskets you gathered? Or the 7 loaves for the 4,000 and how many baskets you gathered? How is it that you fail to understand that I did not speak about bread? Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees." Then they understood that he did not tell them to be aware of the leaven of bread, but of the teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees. This is the word of God. May God bless the reading of his word. Probably something appropriate for us to do right now is to all go, "Oh, that's what he was talking about." Let's do it together. Ready? "Oh, that's what he was talking about." You ever been in that situation? I know I have many times. I might even before the day's over, where somebody's talking about one thing and I think they're talking about something else. And then I finally figure it out. And then I'll say to myself, not out loud, especially now after this, "Oh, that's what they were talking about. But I want you to see that the context is Jesus had just fed the 4,000. And you remember, Jesus just fed the 4,000, and the disciples had already forgotten somehow, some way, that he had previously fed 5,000. And so they were wondering, how are we going to provide bread for these 4,000 people? And we realize he fed 5,000. He can feed 4,000 again, right? Absolutely. And so when it says they had gone to the other side, they realized they had not taken any bread. Now, is this just because they were, you know, really into bread? Not really, but they did depend on bread. That's what they ate. It was something that they could carry with them. And their bread was more nutritional than Sunbeam and Nature's Own and some of the other breads that we eat today. Their bread was more nutritional, had more protein in it, and it was something that was portable. It was their peanut butter and crackers. They would take bread with them. But in verse 5, it tells us that they realized that they had forgotten to bring any bread. Was it you, Peter, that's supposed to bring bread? No, it was John that's supposed to bring bread. I don't know. They may have pointed the finger 12 different ways. Who was supposed to bring the bread? And Jesus said to them, "Watch and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees." Now, that's our key phrase there. That's our key phrase. Watch and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Some of you may say, I don't even know what it's talking about. How can that be our key phrase? I'm going to tell you. Leaven is yeast. Leaven is, now I'm not a great bread maker like Paula and JC and Olivia back there, but leaven is yeast. And when they would put yeast in the dough, it would spread throughout the dough. It wouldn't just stick in one place. When they mixed the bread, when they mixed the dough, the yeast would go all through the dough and would cause it to rise. And so it would spread all through the dough. And so Jesus said, "Watch and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees." Now, sometimes we just don't get it. We just don't get it. No matter how many times people explain things to us, sometimes we don't get it. Some are worse than others. Can we agree? It seems, not calling any names. But when Jesus said, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees," they thought, beware of the bread made by the Pharisees. Beware of the leaven of the bread made by the Pharisees. They were thinking physical and not spiritual, right? They were thinking about very practical matters. When you go on a trip, you can have all these grandiose ideas about the trip, but you got to pack, right? You got to bring the items that are needed. If you're going camping, you got to take the equipment. You got to pack the bread. You got to pack all the other things in order to camp. You can't just have this grandiose idea about camping. You got to prepare. And so that's what they were thinking about. Uh-oh, Jesus is mad because we didn't bring any bread. Very practical matter, right? We can't really fault them for that. They didn't have any bread. Somebody's going to be hungry before too long. The problem is that's not what Jesus was talking about. They were thinking about physical things. Jesus was referring to spiritual things. Now I want to tell you, this is a problem in our country. This is a problem in our culture, in our society. This is a problem for us. Too many times we're thinking about physical things and not thinking about spiritual things. You're saying, is the pastor mad because we don't have bread? That's not what I'm talking about, okay? What I'm talking about is so many people are thinking about the things of this world and what's right in front of them. They never really think about spiritual matters. If they thought more about spiritual matters, this church would be full of people seeking God, of people seeking answers. Too many times, people are only thinking about the present. They're only thinking about physical things, materialistic things. What do I got to do to make it through the day? Folks, I want to tell you, sometimes we got to look up. You got to look up. There is more to this life than the physical things. Jesus said this over and over. The Bible talks about this over and over. Proverbs talks about this over and over. We don't need to be so physically minded. There's a practical side of life that we have to tend to, but there's also a spiritual side to life that we often neglect to our own demise. You see, the worst thing that can happen to you in this world is not that you'll go without a meal. I haven't missed many meals. But theoretically, the worst thing that can happen to you is not to miss a meal or something to happen to you in this life, that you would get a disease or have some terrible thing happen to you. That's bad. I don't want to diminish that at all. But the worst thing that can happen to you is to leave this earth without Jesus. To leave this earth without having given some spiritual, think spiritually about the bigger picture. To think about, where did you come from? Where are you going? How are you going to get there? Where are you going to find God's grace and mercy? I've often thought about printing a card and just leaving it places and just putting a question on it. It says, do you ever think about spiritual things? Do you ever think about spiritual things? We're always focused on the right now, the material, but there's more. I tell you, there is more. And I don't blame them for thinking about bread, but Jesus is engaging them about something else. We need to look a little higher. We need to think a little higher. We need to look to God and to His Son and to the Holy Spirit and to His Word, and not just this world and the things of this world and even the philosophies of this world. We brought no bread. Jesus said, oh, you of little faith, why are you discussing among yourselves the fact that you have no bread? He got on to them because they were worried about bread, and he was talking about things more important than bread. And he calls them, oh, you of little faith. I don't want to be someone that Jesus would call, oh, ye of little faith, do you? I want to be someone that Jesus would say, wow, that had to come from me because it didn't come from you. I don't want to be someone of little faith. I want to be someone of great faith. And he asked, why are you discussing this among yourselves? Do you not yet perceive, Jesus says? Do you not understand? Are you not getting it? And they weren't. Look what he says. Do you not remember the 5 loaves for the 5,000 and how many baskets you gathered? I provided bread for 5,000. I provided bread for 4,000. I can provide bread for 12. Right? Have you already forgotten the bread that I made for all the people? And he says, or the 7 loaves for the 4,000. Let's see. 5 loaves for the 5,000. 7 loaves for the 4,000. And how many baskets you gathered? Remember all the leftovers? He says. And how is it that you failed to understand that I did not speak about bread? He chided them for being so focused on the material things, the things of this world. You see, Jesus is most concerned about the spiritual things. We are most obsessed with the physical things. And here Jesus chides them for being obsessed with the physical things. And he wants them to look up and to realize who he is and what he has done. And I shared with you about that last week. And I want to remind you, as Christians, that we need to always remember who God is, who Jesus is, who the Holy Spirit is, and we need to remember what He can do, what He has done, and what He can do, and what He will do. There are times in our lives when we are completely aware of who He is and what He can do. There are times when we go through trials and difficulties and discouragement and loss, and we forget the goodness of God. We forget who God is, what His nature is like, and what He has done for us in the past, what He can do in the present, and what He has planned for us in the future. Amen? We need to remember who He is. And Jesus is trying to get them off of the bread and to think about some spiritual truths, some spiritual matters. And I want to encourage you to do the same. We call that discipleship, growing and maturing in Christ, studying God's word, being in fellowship with other believers, praying, being in a small group with other people, growing and maturing in Christ. You see, one of the reasons why we need to come to church every week is we need to be reminded to look up. Instead of looking down or looking all around us, we need to be reminded to look to God, to not focus on who we are and what resources we have, but to focus on Jesus and who He is and what He can do. They must have felt pretty low, don't you think? How is it that you failed to understand that I did not speak about bread? It was Peter, actually. It was John. It was Judas. You know Judas. Then he goes back to our key phrase. Beware of the leaven, the breading yeast of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Then, it says in verse 12, they understood that he did not tell them to beware of the leaven of bread. Hello. But to the teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees. So what was the leaven? What was the leaven he was talking about? He was saying leaven, but what was he talking about? Well, in this case, the scripture answers itself, right? A lot of times, if you can't understand what a scripture is saying, keep reading, and it'll tell you what it's saying. Here, he says, it tells us it was not talking about the yeast, the leaven of bread, but of the teaching of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Oh, that's what he was talking about. Beware of the teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees. So what about that? Let's remember with me, or I'll tell you. What did Jesus rebuke about the Pharisees and Sadducees? Well, in this case, it is their unbelief, isn't it? Show us a sign from heaven. I've already shown signs. You've heard about my signs. I'm not showing you a sign. I tell you what, you get the sign of Jonah. Huh? Jesus refused. What did he say about the Pharisees and the Sadducees? He had a lot to say about them. In fact, he reserved more criticism for the Pharisees and the Sadducees than any other group in the Bible. Jesus repeatedly called them out, mainly for their hypocrisy. Their hypocrisy. What is hypocrisy? Hypocrisy is acting like you are spiritual and mature and right with God, when in fact, your heart and mind are not given to Christ, and your actions, your behavior is inconsistent with what a follower of Jesus would do. Does that make sense? So let me think of a simpler way to put it. You're acting like you are somebody when you're not. Does that make sense? Do people like hypocrites? No. And people, we don't like it when we see people who come across as holy and perfect and right with God, having a golden telephone direct to God, when in fact they are not right with God, they are not in tune with God, and the way they act and the way they live is different from what Jesus and God taught us. One of the big criticisms of churches is the churches are full of hypocrites. Full of hypocrites. Hey, y'all are here today. Did you know our church is full of hypocrites? Look left and right. I saw some hypocrites at church this morning. It's funny that the world calls us hypocrites. What about the world? Are they not hypocritical? Some of them say, I'm a religious person. I'm a spiritual person. But they don't live like they're any kind of spiritual person. They don't have any real belief system. And the way they live shows that they don't have any kind of faith or religion at all. Jesus got on to them. He called them whitewashed tombs. Now, that may not sound like much to you, but that was a big insult back then. You know, you're a tomb. You're pretty on the outside, whitewashed, clean, decorated on the outside, but inside you are dead men's bones, he said. He called them brood of vipers, den of snakes. because of their hypocrisy. He repeatedly called them out for their hypocrisy. So their teaching was hypocritical. They acted holy, but they were inwardly sinful. They were unconcerned about the spiritually lost. They were worried about their own image, their own platform. They were interested in how they looked themselves to other people, but they were not concerned about people who were suffering or people who were spiritually lost. They refused, this is the greatest thing, with only two exceptions perhaps, the Pharisees and Sadducees rejected Jesus. That's the worst, isn't it? That's the worst. They rejected Jesus during his life and ministry, and they are the ones that brought the unjust trial and had Jesus crucified. And later on, because they were forced to, they tried to deny the resurrection. They refused to believe in Jesus, the Messiah of God, the true Messiah, the Savior of the world. And so their greatest sins were hypocrisy and unbelief. And so he told them, beware of the leaven, which is the teaching, beware of the teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Beware of what they teach. And so one of the ways that we can know whether someone is a true teacher or not is, do they teach Jesus? Do they teach the truth about God and about Jesus and about the Holy Spirit? You say, well, there's not many of those. Well, that doesn't mean they're wrong. In another place, in Matthew chapter 7, this will not be on the screen, Jesus talks about the how to know a false prophet or not. He says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 15, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Fruits? They grow fruit? No. The fruit here is their actions, their behavior, the way they live their lives. He says, you will recognize them by their fruits. Verse 16, are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? And the answer there is, well, no. So, every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. Nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. You will recognize those who are teaching the truth versus those who are teaching falsehood, those who are false teachers, by the way they live. By the fruit, so to speak, that comes out. This time of year, there's one good thing about this time of year to me, and that is that cherries come out. And I love to eat fresh cherries. Anybody else like fresh cherries? Yeah, they're really good, aren't they? I like fresh cherries. And there's been some good ones this year, and you know what that means. If you have a big bag of good cherries, that means there's some healthy trees out there, right? Isn't that what that Bible verse is saying? If you've got healthy fruit, if you have good fruit, it means that the tree is good and healthy. And sometimes, some years, the peaches aren't any good, right? And so the tree is not healthy. But one of the ways that you can identify a false teacher is by the way they live, by the way they talk. The proof is what kind of fruit they produce, how they live, how they teach, how they respond to others, how they care for others. Let me give you just, this is not in the scripture, but let me give you some things to think about when it comes to false teachers. Oftentimes, false teachers focus on self. And you see this in the Pharisees. They were always focused on themselves. They focus on keeping rules. I follow the rules better than you do. They focus on the organization. They focus on preserving the organization at all costs. They focus on a wrong interpretation of Scripture. They'll use a scripture to prove a doctrine that they have or a belief that they have without consulting the context. They use an obscure verse to prove their belief. And you shouldn't do that. Some of the cults in our world are built on false interpretations of Scripture. They have a, I can't read my handwriting here. A lot of times they have a low view of Scripture. You're listening to somebody on YouTube and you think, is this person a good person or not? How do they view Scripture? Do they see it as God's word or not? That'll help you. And then some of them have a high view of their own writings. Some of the cults, and for example, they have the Bible, but they have their other books. And that helps you to know that that is false teaching. So there's a lot more, obviously, that could be said about this. But I want you to go back to what Jesus was saying, because that's what's most important. He said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Beware of the false teachers and the false teaching and examples of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. You say, well, I don't know any Pharisees or Sadducees. You do know people who are religious leaders of some sort. You do know people who say that they're an authority on something. Everybody seems to be an authority on something these days, don't they? Beware. Jesus says, beware of false teaching. And why is that important? Thank you for asking at the end. Why is that important? Because you don't want to be led astray. Amen? That's the whole point. You don't want to be led astray. You don't want to believe in error. You want to believe the truth of God. You want to be in a right relationship with God. You want to be in good fellowship with God. You want to serve God. You want to be right in the middle of what God is doing, and you can't do that if you're being led astray by a false teacher. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Now, that's true for Christian truth, that's Christian teaching, but it is also true for the teaching, the false teaching, the false philosophies of the world. And there's a lot of it, and we're surrounded by it. And one of the things that you and I should always pray is, Lord, help me to know the truth and not be taken by error. That's a fair question. That's a fair prayer for all time. This morning, I want to testify that Jesus is the Son of God. And He is the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Him. Whenever someone preaches and teaches from the Bible, you got to be careful. But if they're preaching and teaching what Jesus said in the Bible or what God has said in the Bible, you can have better confidence that that person is preaching and teaching the truth of God. Amen? The Bible is the Word of God, and the Bible is our guide. And here's something even better. The Holy Spirit guides us as we read His Word. And He testifies to the truthfulness of God's Word. Don't let anybody tell you that the Bible is just like any other book. It's not. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll have our invitation time.